Hosea chapter 4 tonight. Hosea chapter 4. The book of Hosea. I know it's hard to find all the minor prophets and so on, but find that even if you have to. Go to the index in your Bible and find out what page it's on. Hosea chapter 4. I want to talk about a house divided. A house divided. We'll talk about that. Hosea chapter 4, look at verse 1. Let me give you what we're doing. Sunday morning we preached on America, Truth Has Fallen from the book of Isaiah. I used a portion of Hosea, but I didn't get finished with what I wanted to say. Sometimes people, come to the house of God to have their pet need stroked. And I've seen people have the same pet need for 20 years and never grow out of it. The fact is God is good all the time. The fact is God loves us unconditionally. And God has given us Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our coming King, and as our priest. I'm thankful for that. Everything revolves around that. And we're waiting for Jesus to come again. I'm looking forward to that. The Apostle Paul, who was probably the greatest apostle of all times, wrote in the book of Corinthians to that church at Corinth. And he said, you know what? Everything that happened to Israel happened for our example. It happened for us to pay attention to and not do away with history, but be reminded and know history and what happens here so that we won't go the same way in the New Testament, so that we don't see a group of people who with their mouths said, oh, I love God, but with their works and their heart, they denied Him. So we're going to look at the consequences. A house divided. Hosea chapter 4 verse 1. I read this just because so that you will know who he's speaking to. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another. Now, it doesn't mean what you think it does. Judge not lest you be judged. That's been taken out of context. And it means we're not supposed to look and say that perversion is wrong, because we're going to be judged one day as well. So we shouldn't cast judgment upon the pervert. We shouldn't cast judgment upon those, you know, that are doing this or not serving the Lord. That's not what it means. It means we should not judge the motives of another Christian. Sometimes we can't see the heart of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to judge evil. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to open our eyes and see the wrong in our own life and repent of it, and then see the wrong in someone else's life and maybe make reference of it so that they might repent as well. That's what it means. But notice here he says, let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. In other words, everyone's involved. Let no man judge another. Everybody's in error here. Everyone's in sin here. We're talking about the nation of Israel that has been split, as we talked about Sunday morning. The nation of Israel, it's split. Now there's a northern kingdom that's called Israel. There's a southern kingdom that's called Judah. Israel is also sometimes referred to as Ephraim. And you'll see it here. But the northern kingdom was taken into idolatry in a hard way by Jeroboam, who was of the tribe of Ephraim, and he built golden calves and a temple, and he appointed common people to be priests. And he kept all the feast days on a regular basis. And he said in his heart, I'm going to do this so that these people will not go to Jerusalem and worship. If they go to Jerusalem and worship and get amongst God's people and get in the real temple there, they might forsake me and kill me and then return as one united nation. Does that make sense? And you know that. Okay. So that's where we are at the present time. You find that some of the bad folks here has been King Ahab and Jezebel, rulers of the northern kingdom. It kind of reminds me of the Speaker of the House at the present time in evil. And what Ahab's wife was, the name Jezebel now is a common name, or it used to be when I was growing up, for evil women. And loose women, and so on. Notice. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they strive with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me as a nation. In the book of Revelation, 144,000 Jews will be sealed and saved at the first part of the tribulation period. And what's their job and what will they do? They'll go throughout the entire world being evangelists and winning people to Christ by preaching the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that will happen. He said, you will be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Boy, think about it. You could add the drugs in there and sorcery. Take away the heart. Proverbs says, no matter what you do, keep your heart. With all diligence, keep your heart. Don't lose your heart. Don't lose heart. Keep serving the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, at their idols. Israel, the northern kingdom. And their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err. The spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of worshiping lust, the spirit of worshiping the flesh, the spirit of worshiping money, the spirit of worshiping power and priority and authority. The spirit of whoredoms means going against God spiritually, hath caused them to err. And they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. Now, drop down to verse 15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, spiritually speaking, though thou play the harlot, let not Judah offend. There you see a distinction between one nation that was unified at one time, now split. Northern kingdom Israel, southern kingdom Judah. Capital of Samaria, capital of Jerusalem. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, and yet let not Judah offend. Come not unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim, that's another name for Israel. Jeroboam is their king, and Jeroboam came out of the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. The wind hath bound her up in the wind, in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Father, thank you for the word that's before us as our example. Help us understand what's happening. May we see the light of your Spirit. May you shed wisdom and knowledge upon us. Help us to understand. Help us to proclaim your greatness, your powerfulness, the fact that you still rule over the affairs of men, and we give you credit, we give you glory, we give you praise even this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. I don't think it's any doubt in your mind that America's in the shape that Israel was in during this day and time. We have about 50% of the population in America going left and another 50 going right. Maybe more or less, a little more, whatever. But nevertheless, that's where we are. We're split. We're a different people. And I want to tell you, as I told you Sunday, I won't go back into great detail, but as I told you Sunday, there needs to be a divorce. There are irreconcilable differences between our nation now that we cannot live with, because as they call the progressives, or they call the left now, much of what I'm seeing and much of what I know about it is pure, unadulterated evil. Denying God, casting God out. Did you see Biden's speech the other day? He made reference to Islam. He's begging the multiple millions of Muslims that have come to America to vote for him. And he quoted the Quran, but the portion of the Quran that he tried to quote to them to influence their vote was in regards to the Sharia law, which is the strict, strict law of Islam. And it's for putting to death those who will not surrender or submit. And he went so far, there was, this is not my interpretation, there was a Muslim woman who came on who had converted from Islam to Christianity, and she gave the interpretation of what all it meant. And it meant, if you can't change your enemy, basically, if you can't change their heart, you can't speak peaceably to them, then do what's necessary. And we've looked in other nations and other countries, and we know what the necessity is. Allah, supposedly, in the Quran, says that the infidels are given an opportunity to come under Sharia law if they will not convert, but they must pay high taxes in order to exist. If they do not and they refuse to convert, or they refuse to pay the tax, then it's okay if you kill the infidel. Now, do you see anywhere in the Word of God where God does anything like that? God is a God of mercy, long-suffering, gentleness. For God so loved the world, the wicked world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And He died for us in our sins. He died for us. So here we are. I'm not going to name names because I'm liable to get them wrong, but it's public knowledge now. The guy that had the child sex slave ring down on the island that supposedly committed suicide in prison. Well, the tapes are out and the evidence is out. And there have been senators and congressmen, princes and prime ministers from other countries that have made trips down to this island. For what reason? For what reason other than the fact that pedophilia and the children that were there were used as objects and all of those kinds of things? He had certain certain ones, boys and girls, on his airplane for some of the clientele that flew on there. And they have to keep a record when they fly out of the country of who flies and who doesn't fly. Guess who made 26 trips on his plane down to the island? A former president by the name of Bill Clinton, who also committed the lewd acts in the White House that's been proven. Now, we have senators and congressmen at the present time that are progressive. And no doubt there's probably others of our nature and our kind as well that's done the same thing. And they're all dastardly. They all ought to be in prison. They all ought to be in jail. But guess what? We're paying them to lead our nation and lead our country. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? They're perverts. They're evil. They're wicked. They prayed to an African god not long ago and bowed with the trappings of the African tribes over there in Africa, not even knowing what they were doing. They were showing the symbols of those tribes that were the number one tribe for capturing people of other tribes and selling them as slaves. And these morons were bowing and remembering and praying and wearing the shawls and those kinds of things. Listen, we're in an evil world and an evil nation now that would rather give obeisance to a false god and a false religion than to the God and the religion that bore our nation in the very beginning. It's a horrible situation. You cannot live with evil peaceably. You cannot live with evil peaceably. I believe we have a house divided in America at the present time. Oh, it's all up in the air. Okay, who's going to rule for the next 4 years? Is the evil ones? Oh, I know I would be slammed and I would be ridiculed by those who would say, how dare you say that and how dare you make that judgment? Listen, all I have to do is look at what they are for or against to make the determination of either evil or righteous. They're all for abortion on demand all the way up. And Pelosi criticized Trump because he would not sign into order the law that they were trying to pass that would okay abortion right up until the last minute before that baby is born. Is that evil or is that righteous? Of course it's evil. What about same-sex marriage? Of course it's evil. And 1,000 other things. So don't use your emotions and don't let people use their emotions and say to you, well, but they're trying to help the poor people. Oh, really? They're trying to pad their pockets. They're not trying to help the poor only. They are evil. They are wicked. They're murdering tens of millions of babies, unborn human beings. One by one, by one, by one, again and again. And what I want to show you tonight is the fact that a house divided cannot stand. Oh, we know that, but we're going to get unified. Sooner or later, somebody's going to, no, 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 no. You don't understand. Light cannot dwell with darkness. Righteousness cannot dwell with evilness. Water and oil do not mix. God said in the book of 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate. Talking about the heathen, talking about the unbeliever, not having business dealings. Look, if we've learned anything in the last 4 years from Trump, we've learned that a businessman who doesn't know politics necessarily and is not a professional politician can actually do a pretty decent job of leading a nation and getting people back to work again. If they would leave him alone, he would have the country booming again because of the principles of business. But But that verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians refers to the child of God not being united with a non-child of God in business dealings or in matrimony or in any of those kinds of things, because he said light cannot dwell with darkness, good cannot dwell with evil. It's an impossibility. But we're trying to unite. Oh, we're going to unite our nation. We're not uniting our nation. If I've learned anything since this pandemic, quote unquote, has come around, I've learned that there are those elements in America who are evil and wicked and have no conscience of what they're doing to the rest of the country. What's the solution? I don't know. Honestly, I think the ones that have tried to dig up dirt and use all this false information against our president deserve to go to prison for treason. That's what I really believe. And if you, here we are. Don't be offended. Don't come out and say, well, I have two-fifths. Indian blood. Listen, when you kill the chief, the other Indians scatter. Huh? The old cowboys, I like a good cowboy. They'll get to where they'll take that off the air because it's offensive, I guess. They changed the Redskins football team, you know, but I don't care. I'm not watching them this year anyway because they're going to take away, not going to play the national anthem. They're all going to bow. And listen, I don't bow to anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ. That's where we ought to be today. And all these polywogs making all of this, well, I've been offended. Well, great, get a life. Hello? You cannot live with evil peaceably. Notice what he said in verse 15. He said, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. They're one nation. They're in a geographical area together, but there is a vast difference. The northern kingdom, Israel, has one of the most ungodly kings and ungodly queens at the present time that you can absolutely have. Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel is wicked. She's not even a Jew. And she brought her idolatrous ways over and spread them rapidly, and had her own prophets that ate at her table every day and did her bidding. And he says, let not Judah offend. Let not Judah go in the same direction that the northern kingdom did. O Judah, for out of Judah will come the King of Kings, the tribe that Jesus is from. And he said, oh, wait. We cannot allow Judah to go that way. Notice that he says in verse 16, Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Ephraim is a common name used for the northern kingdom of Israel. I'm told by Bible scholars sometimes because Jeroboam, who was the first king of that particular kingdom, was from the tribe of Ephraim, who was the youngest son of Joseph. And you find that this tribe, Ephraim, had the tabernacle and the ark at Shiloh. In Ephraim, they were there during the judges and during especially Gideon and those kinds of things. The tabernacle and the ark was there at Shiloh of Ephraim. It had a prominent place. It had all the trappings, all the priests, Joshua, all of those things were good. So Ephraim has no excuse to go bad. Ephraim has no excuse as a people to be ignorant of God and God's ways. Man, we're in one of the most blessed nations of the entire world that was built upon the foundation of God, His principles, and thus saith the Lord God. And yet here we are now, and we have people burning Bibles in Seattle and Portland like a bunch of morons. Notice Ephraim, Israel's joined to her idols. Listen. I'll say it. The progressives are joined to their idols. Let them alone. You can't change them. You won't change them. I see that already. And this was Ephraim. Ephraim had grown up and Ephraim knew what was right. He knew, but he rejected truth. He enjoyed the fleshly worship of the idols. May I just bluntly tell you that a lot of that idolatrous worship had those ceremonies that revolved around prostitutes, both male and female, whichever your desire was. And it was part of the ritual and part of the worship. And those are one of the things that so grabbed hold of the people of Israel and enslaved them in this idolatrous situation. Ephraim is joined to their idols. Let him alone. Their heart is evil. Israel's heart became evil. And notice that God said he's joined to his idols. There's no hope. Let him alone. You won't change him. In other words, there is no repentance in his heart. There is no repentance of going the direction. Listen, there are people in America tonight who are trying to tear down a democracy, trying to tear up the republic, trying to drive what little semblance of God there is left in America completely out. And we sit here thinking that somehow, some way, we're going to be reunited. There is no way I even want to be reunited with this crowd. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to see the word reprobate. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, I believe, and how he uses this. 2 Timothy, where is it? Where is it? Chapter 3. Notice that he's talking about verse 6, immature women, these false prophets are teaching and preaching. Verse 7, never learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're immature, they run on emotion, they run from this thing to that thing. Then in verse 8, as we read Sunday, now as Jannes and Jambres, which were supposedly the Egyptian magicians, and part of their priesthood, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Jannes and Jambres actually saw the supernatural that Moses was doing by the power of God. They actually saw it, but they rejected it. Any sane person would have said, man, this is powerful stuff. But they rejected. Notice, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate, without the faith, without the Lord, without God, reprobate concerning the faith, empty. Now, in Titus chapter 1 and in verse, you need to look at verse 12, actually verse 11. Verse 10 says, there were many vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision of their own household. There were those who were deceptive. In America, Americans are deceiving Americans, if you please. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, muzzled, who subvert, who overthrow or destroy whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. That's money. Isn't it amazing? They said that Nancy Pelosi has been in Congress since the days of JFK. And yet, what has she accomplished other than making herself one of the richest women in the world? Hello? Notice he goes on and he says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true about the Cretans. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. But not giving heed to the Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that believe, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Not even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. They're reprobates. They're without the faith. They won't stand the test of Jesus Christ in their life, Paul says here. They're reprobates. I wonder how many people that claim in Congress to be Christians would stand the test. In word they claim God, but in deeds or in works they deny Him. But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work a reprobate. Put it to the test. What are they for? What are they against? They're against goodness. They're against stopping the killing of unborn. They're against you being opposed to same-sex marriage. They're against giving free health care and welfare to anyone and everyone that comes into America, citizen or not. They are for that. And anybody with any sense knows that will break the back of America if it continues. If you don't pay your share in, you should not get a portion of it out. That's only common sense. So how do I know that they're not what they profess to be? Because their works are evil. Their works are evil. And notice he calls them a reprobate. In verse 16. So what does that say? I took you there to give you an illustration of what Hosea is saying by the word of God when God said Ephraim is joined to his idols. In other words, Ephraim has tasted the lust. Ephraim has denied the faith. Ephraim knows what it's like to have the power and knows what it's like to have the indulgences. He's not going to repent. Ephraim won't repent. Let him alone. Don't waste your time. Leave him alone, he said. That was God speaking. I think we're there in America. Oh, this time we're trying to get righteousness. You know, Trump is not perfect. I understand that. But the works that he's worked in the last 4 years has been far more than the last three administrations accomplished on all of their time put together when they promised it to us but never delivered on it. Hello? So here we are. We're saying, well, we're going to get a Republican in. I don't care about the word Republican or Democrat. It's about evil or good, one or the other, right, at this particular stage. And nothing but, and since January, I've always known there was something wrong, but since January, I've seen pure evil come out of these people. I believe it's the Speaker of the House, his right-hand man, who also was on the logbook of that airplane that flew to that island, and it was said his preference was young boys. If that be the case, my prayer is that they will be found out and be in prison by this time next year. That'd be the greatest thing that could happen. I'm not prejudiced when I say Republican or Democrat. I could care less what you call them. as long as they love the Lord and obey the Lord and do that which is good and their works turn out good. But when you have these who are always arguing and always holding things up and always in power to defeat good when good tries to get something going, then I say it's time to divorce them or put them in prison, one or the other. And I'm not smart enough to figure out the plan or the way. Notice chapter 5. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel. Give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you. Judgment. That's what we need in America right now. Because you've been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tamar. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. In other words, God says, I have rebuked this evil, but it just continues. I've rebuked it. I've tried to correct again and again, but they have rejected truth and they're going after falsehood and error. They're going after the lust of the flesh more than after the goodness of God and His righteousness. You see that? Verse 3 says, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. God says, I see it very well. I see the evil. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom. And Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings. The word frame means give. Literally, in the Old English, it means to give. They will not give their doings to turn unto their God. In other words, they're not going to change. Just like Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. He's a reprobate. God is saying Israel is not going to change. They're not going to give their obedience to God. They're not going to bow before God. They'll bow before every other idol and every other reason, but not before God. They will not give their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Verse 4. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, my people ask counsel at their stocks, at their idols. And their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. The spirit of whoredoms, is that righteous or is that evil? What does it sound like to you? It is evil. The spirit, there's a spirit that permeates in America today that is not the Holy Spirit of God, but the spirit of the Antichrist that is turned loose. And we're seeing the evidence of it with the child abuse and the cold-blooded killing. How can somebody put a gun to a child's head and pull the trigger? Pure evil. Just evil. Notice he says, verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7, they shall go with, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramon. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven. After thee, O Benjamin, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. In other words, judgment is coming, but by the time it gets here, there will be hardly anything left of Ephraim. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes, I'm in verse 10, chapter 5. The princes of Judah, supposedly the right crowd, were like them that removed the bound or the boundary. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. In other words, Judah's going to get it. Judah is following the path of Israel. They've just been several years, I forget the time period, 150, 200 years behind. They were behind Israel, but they went the same direction and they got it too. Notice, the princes of Judah were like Israel in that they removed the boundary. The boundaries that God set up. God said, ye shall not worship idol gods. You won't worship the wooden god, the gold god, the silver god, the brass god. You will not worship idol gods. And you'll cut down the groves up on the hills and tear down the altars there. That's where they had their rituals of a fleshly nature were under the groves, and that's what it stood for. And he said, Israel broke the boundaries and the bounds. Now Judah will be like them that removed the boundaries. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Now hold your place there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. I'm going to go another 5 or 6 minutes. In 2 Corinthians 6, look at verse 14. Be ye. Ye were the people in the church at Corinth, those who were born again, baptized. They were members of the church. And Paul writes and he says unto them, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. To be unequally yoked means to be associated together. You're different, but you've endured each other. You're different, but you've come together for a common cause. You're different, but you've come together to make money or whatever it might be. Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How can righteousness fellowship with evil? You cannot. And what communion hath light with darkness? What do you have in common with darkness? Nothing. And what concord or what agreement hath Christ with Belial or the demonic head? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement, what approval hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now listen, here it is. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Means literally, I will favor you. But notice the word separate. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The word separate means to mark off from others by boundaries. It means your separation is a boundary. It's not your list of things to do. Your separation doesn't make you who you are. Who you are makes your separation, your boundaries. I will not go in the way of the heathen. I will not drink the alcohol and the beer and the things they do. I will not do it. It's a boundary. I've separated. I'm not going to go and to their porn movies. And I've separated, you know. And you go on and on. And he says, come out from among them and draw off your boundaries. Separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will treat you with great favor. Now I'm back in Hosea. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bounds or the boundaries. Oh, here we are. And I've been told, though I haven't heard it, I've been told that people have been in attendance at churches where an independent fundamental Baptist preacher said, I can't tell you that doing this is wrong. It may be wrong for you, but not for me. It may be wrong for me, but not for you. I can't tell you that drinking a can of beer would be wrong for you, but it is for me. Or smoking a cigarette may not be wrong for me, but it is for you. I can't tell. Wait a minute. There are no absolutes in the Scriptures. There's nothing in there to distinguish God's people from the people of Satan. You've broken down the boundaries. See what he says? Ephraim is oppressed. Chapter 5, verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. What commandment? The commandment of, well, I know this is a different time period, but the commandment like Jeroboam proclaimed, here be your gods, O Israel. You don't have to go to Jerusalem and worship. He made 2 golden calves and put them in a temple there and caused them to worship. He ordained people who were not priests and were not Levites, but he ordained them and sent them forth. Here you go. Here's the commandment. Come and worship. Eat, drink, and be merry. And, you know, here's your idol gods up under the green groves. Nobody's going to chastise you for doing that. He was involved in it himself. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. Oh my goodness. A divided house. How can Judah still give their sons and daughters to the people in Israel, even though they were both Jews? How can they fellowship? How can they intermix without repercussions from God? In other words, it was like the children of light, those who are born again, seeing the women of Israel and taking of all they desired to marry because they were beautiful. Not because they were children of God, but because they were outwardly sexy. And these are the measurements that we use today to find wives for our sons and to find husbands for our daughters. Does he make money? Is he nice looking? Is he kind? How does it not? Number one, is he born again? We've thrown the spiritual baby out with the bathwater. And now it's all about money, power, prestige, and position. And I'm telling you, America cannot last if we keep going this direction. What if this other crowd gets in? You're going to lose a lot of your liberties, a lot more of your liberties than you have lost already. And then it's going to be dangerous. They come after the statues, they burn the Bibles. The next thing they'll be burning church buildings, and the next thing they'll be persecuting Christians. You can count on it. What are you going to do? It's time to lock them up or divorce them, one or the other. A house divided cannot stand. There is hope. Look in Proverbs chapter 1. Hang with me, would you? I don't get on my terror just every once in a while. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. They reap what they sow. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Look in chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Having a plan. Discretion. Having a plan. Understanding. Back in the day there were men of God that were called men who had an understanding of the times. Given by God, the Holy Spirit filled their heart with an understanding of the times, what we need to do here. And they led out, and Israel was prosperous as a whole nation. Go on and notice verse 12, he says, to deliver thee discretion and understanding, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. How many times do you hear a four-letter word on a YouTube or video today? That's what froward means. A froward man, a rebellious and a potty-mouthed individual who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Delight in the fro. Listen, I read where there were some of the progressives that were encouraging the governors of some of these states to go ahead and lock down the businesses and go ahead and turn loose the looters and the rioters. It'll just make the president look bad and he won't get reelected. We'll make it all right after the election is over. There they are right there. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Verse 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out. Look in Proverbs 3, verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Hey, I look forward to that day, don't you? Notice in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Look, it's not time to throw away your faith. It's not time to throw away your hope in the Lord. It's not time to say prayer doesn't work. It's not time to give up on God. It's time to double down as a Christian and pray harder and read your Bible more and love on God more than you ever have before and ask Him to take care of the situation at hand. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just. One last, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. Proverbs 10:8. Notice, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Prating, he's a foul mouth. A prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. That's enough. I apologize for the time. I don't apologize for the message. Again, it's one of those things that need to be said. We're in a divided house. I don't know if you've even thought about it or not. So bent on, oh, well, we got to get Republican votes. We got to get Republican votes. Well, what are you going to do the next 4 years when they get more people illegally in and make citizens out of them to vote on their behalf? What are you going to do then? You're going to live under the tyrant? You're going to live under the evil? Now is the time to do something. Now is the time to pray hard about it. Now is the time to call congressmen and senators and let them know that we're not happy at all the way this thing is going. Let's stand and be dismissed. Food for thought. A house divided cannot stand. And that's where we are right now. Joe Rill.